Will you join me in prayer? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Early on the first day, while it was still dark, I cannot think of a greater contrast than what we experienced this morning and what we read in the scripture text today. The first morning, we find no Easter potluck brunch. There are no shouts of alleluia, no patterned dresses, no Easter lilies. If we really wanted to replicate the scene from today's scripture, we would have turned off the lights and you all would have been running around screaming in the dark. Early on the first morning, while it was still dark, there was sweat and adrenaline and weeping. It has been 3 days since the crucifixion, 3 days since this agonizing death of Jesus through torture and asphyxiation, 3 days since all but a handful of women fled. It has been 3 days since they took down his body from the cross and sealed it in a cave with this massive boulder. 3 days. 3 days of deep darkness when the air is thick with sleep. 3 nights of cool, rough walls and stony silence. And I wonder a lot about Jesus during those 3 days. In our story handed down to us, they are obscured by fear and grief and absence. We don't know what happens in the dark of the tomb, but it hasn't stopped people from wondering. In one Christian tradition, during these days between cross and resurrection, Jesus spends his time freeing the saints in hell from the power of death. It's called the harrowing of hell. In another Christian tradition, this one portrayed in Eastern Orthodox icons, Jesus is not alone in the tomb. He sits in the grave, comforting Adam and Eve, or sometimes cuddling with angels. But what if Jesus spends those days waiting in the dark? There may be something to this. One of the images the New Testament draws on about Easter in these 3 days is Jonah, the prophet who waits in the belly of this great fish for 3 days. Jonah huddles in the smelly, wet darkness. And perhaps Jesus does too. In fact, many of the church's earliest Holy Saturday liturgies draw on images of rest and sleep and Sabbath during this time. I have to say, the idea of waiting in the dark is not something I find especially pleasant. I can trace this lack of desire to be in dark places to growing up in a house with a basement. But it's this basement where you had to turn off the basement light before coming upstairs. Yes, do we have, yeah? So of course this meant the basement was pitch black and there's this one lone sort of horror movie light at the top of the stairs. So you very had to flick the switch at the bottom and sprint up the stairs before you were snatched by the zombie that lived in all of our basements, right? Yep. So I know that the dark can be frightening. And I also know that the darkness offers gifts. For those of us who are sighted, the dark leaves us to rely on our other senses. The dark may actually give us an opportunity for misperception. We're allowed to attend to things that are possible that we may not have been able to see in the light of day. Because night is a time of imagination. Hopefully an imagination beyond a zombie or a monster in your basement. And so this morning we're invited to imagine Jesus waiting in the dark as with a friend. tending to flowers and doing a bit of weeding around the graveyard. Don't forget, there in the darkness, Mary Magdalene mistakes him for a gardener. And of course, we cannot forget her. Mary Magdalene, she is also a night creature in this story. She comes to the tomb in John's gospel empty-handed, with nothing. She has no friends with her. She has no anointing oil. Alone in the dark, Mary Magdalene winds her way through the streets of Jerusalem to the outskirts of town. And we can imagine that she's come simply to mourn. In my experience, the dark is a good place to cry. And it is here at the center of her grief, the ground zero of her shattered hopes, where she finds this tomb empty and the stone rolled away. And we only know of the resurrection because Mary woke up before there was light and trudged with her sorrows on her back to the tomb. And there she discovers that Jesus is alive. But he is alive as he lived his life. He forces no encounter. He does not go, as I would, to the people who murdered him. Instead, he waits for his friends to come. He waits for them to come with their grief. When I was younger, I thought, or at least hoped, that this Christian life might actually help me avoid grief. After all, if death is defeated forever, what could go wrong? A lot, it turns out. Much to my surprise, following after Jesus has meant finding myself trudging towards a soul-emptying grief. My Christian life has unfolded in emergency rooms and prison cells, at homeless encampments, and in the parking lot for a for-profit migrant detention center. Friends, I have been to so many graves. And so on Easter, we are confronted with a question about the life that we want. St. John of the Cross might have put it this way. Do you want spirituality, mystical experience, inner peace, or do you want God? Because here in the dark, you will meet God. But this encounter will also break open your life. It will actually lead you towards disquiet and discomfort. We can only encounter the God who returns from the dead if we are willing to pull up a chair by a tomb. My first job as a pastor here in Raleigh, right after seminary, was with the Moravian Church. And our Easter worship began at Oakwood Cemetery, right down the street from us. That's where you would find the Moravians this morning as well. I remember my alarm blaring at 4 o'clock in the morning and driving the empty streets, shivering and bleary-eyed, walking up to the top of the hill of the cemetery, because that's where the service begins. And Moravians are known for their brass bands, so there was a very boisterous tuba who was there to make sure we were fully awake. And after saying the first part of the Easter liturgy at the top, we would process down to the Moravian section of the cemetery called God's Acre. But first, before we left, the band director sent half the brass band ahead of us. It's sort of a Moravian version of surround sound. We would walk and the band would play half at the top and they would go back and forth like in a conversation. And in the darkness, we couldn't see the part of the band that went ahead. We could only hear them. And for a couple minutes, just for a moment, I could imagine that those instruments were played by people who were raised from the dead. I could imagine in the darkness that we would arrive and find graves split open and someone's great-great uncle playing the slide trombone. And because it was dark, I could imagine just for a moment that it was all true. I don't need to tell you that we also find ourselves in darkness. It is difficult to see the shape of our future. The threat of climate change is so immense. I can't find the path before me often because there is so much destruction and hatred aimed at trans people, so much hatred for teachers with the conviction to teach children about racism. Tyree Nichols is dead at the hands of police. Tortuguita is dead also at the hands of the police for protecting a forest he loved. And Easter won't make any of that go away. You aren't being offered a distraction here this morning. Easter always points us to graveyards. Easter points to the most raw and vicious pain we carry in us. And then you will hear your name. Your name. You will hear Olivia. And you will hear Laura. In the grief and in the pain, you will hear Craig and Roberto. Because Mary is greeted, recognized, known, named by Jesus in intimacy all by herself. Eventually, Jesus will gather others. He will say the names of others, but in this moment is for her. She is the one who is known. He names her there, also living among the dead. Friends, at Easter, we are invited to travel with Mary Magdalene in the utter silence and the deep dark to the place where we are told to expect only death, only devastation. And that is where you will find an empty tomb every time. I promise. That is the place where you will hear that your name is called. There, the risen Jesus waits for you in the dark. Amen.